What's up, everybody? Welcome to Moving the Goalposts. I'm your host, Nick Mara, joined by producer extraordinaire, Andrew Meehan. Meehan, what's up?
How are we doing?
Oh, good on a day like today. It's starting to feel a little bit more like football season. The chill in the air, the Patriots in first place, not just in the division, but the entire conference now. Excited. That's how I am. I'm excited.
If you're the Bills, and I know this has been the talk for really since the Patriots have kind of been on the up and coming, and even before these two teams played, the Patriots were, you know, first in the division in the AFC East, but not just the Bills, but the AFC. Maybe even if you really want to go that far, I'm not trying to get too high today. Like, you're just thinking to yourself, what the hell? Like, can you guys screw off for more than one season, please?
You definitely need to temper expectations if you're the rest of the teams in this conference now, because it seems like New England's come back with a force. They're a force to be reckoned with. And we were saying before we started recording how if you go back a couple of seasons last year, Brady, the final quarter of that year, they really weren't playing well. I think they went 1-3 in their final four games. And then the entire Cam Newton season, and maybe the first quarter of this year, you could say New England was in a funk. So, I mean, technically they were a bad team for more than 1 year. It was only a year and a half. It happened over the course of three seasons. But yeah, I'm conflicted in saying that they're all the way back, because I still think that we need to see from this team an ability to come back late in a game, and we haven't seen that so far, but that's getting down the road. What were your give me your initial take, your first take after this game, what your thoughts are about this team going into a bye week? Now
you're a Super Bowl contender. You absolutely are. Yeah, you're a contender. I'm not saying you're gonna go win, not saying you're gonna get, like, you can make a deep run. You are absolutely a contender. You've won seven straight. You went into that, had to have been their tough. Honestly, I don't even remember what I said was going to be their toughest road game at the beginning of the season. That was their toughest environment to be in last night. And I'm not just talking about the conditions, which were, holy crap, the wind was crazy. That environment, Bills Mafia, that's like an old school football environment to be in. Like, if you're an opposing team, especially if you're an opposing team's fan, especially a Patriots fan, if you're going to an away game at the Bills, you're going in with a target on your back. So, you know, it was a big question of mine was, how is Matt going to handle it? Because, I mean, you saw him last night. The dude was dressed in a snowsuit practically. He even admitted it. He said, I've never seen that win before. It's crazy. So you're thinking, how is Matt going to handle this type of situation, the crowd, the weather? He's played in some big, you know, there are college environments that are bigger than NFL environments when it comes to fans. But that's, like, you know, that's a tough place to play on a Monday night, and especially when there's a lot riding on it for both teams. You're talking about the Patriots, who, you know, fell flat on their faces last year and lost the division for the first time since, well, the Bills haven't won it since 1995, right? So it's crazy. I mean, it was a good road win last night. It was, I don't want to say it was ugly. It was just good old ground and pound football. You know, there were definitely some mistake that was made where I think, you know, the game would have definitely been a lot different. Maybe 14-6 really for the defense last night. That was the defense won that game last night, 14-3. The defense.
Yeah, I would even say the 3 points that they got on the field goal were kind of gimme points as well, because that was the play where Allen was making his way out of bounds, and was it Marcus Bryant?
Miles Bryant.
He tackled him out of bounds, quote unquote. But no, I think, like I said to start off the episode, it's starting to feel like football season. This was the first game that I think we've seen the Patriots play that's been like, you know, those classic Teddy Bruschi games where you're in the snow and you're making tackles and you're making goal line stops, big plays, the fans are going crazy. You know, those are the memories that I had from the first part of the dynasty, you know, when they were winning championships in the early 2000s. And then, yeah, you did kind of become a high flying offense. You turned a little bit more into the Indianapolis Colts and you found yourself in games where when you had to play a little bit more physical, you were outmanned, specifically against the Baltimore Ravens and the New York Jets. Those are the two teams that I can think of from the postseason, at least. And then they started realizing, well, maybe we do have to get a little bit back to that ground and pound, win on defense, establish the line of scrimmage type team. And they've done a total 180. Yeah. From where they were last year and how they were winning games last year, it almost seemed like you won games not based on your defense, but based on the other team making so many more mistakes than you that you just happened to score more points than them.
Right.
I think they have a competent offense. I mean, we saw how many times what percentage of snaps do you think Buffalo lined up in at a minimum an 8-man box for this game? They knew New England was going to run the ball. They knew the Patriots could only run the ball. Mac Jones threw three times in the entire game, three times. So it's a little, I would say emasculating to just be pushed around like that. And
it was
just
head to head combat. What it was.
I don't know if we may or may not be able to get the audio clip in, but after the game you had, I think it was Pointer and Hyde talking to the media and one of the reporters asked them if they were embarrassed for allowing so many rushing yards. And they got real defensive saying that we only allowed 14 points. So, you know, yeah, they got good running backs. So whatever. And then just like, We'll remember that. I hope you remember it.
Yeah, remember it, because you know who they're playing next week. A running game that is just as good. You can argue who's better, whatever. You're playing two very good running games in a row now. So you just got done with the Pats. Now you're playing Leonard Fournette, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers next week. Yeah, good luck. Remember that. By the way, you're at Tampa too. So have fun. They could put up more than 14 points, but it's not just that. It's not just, we only allowed 14 points. Okay, well, you allow time of possession. I just had it just in front of me. Like, it's not just about, we only held them to 14 points. They had the ball more often. They were running time on you. Let's see if I can find it. So we had the ball for 32 minutes and a second. They had it for 27 minutes and 59 seconds. So, all right, they didn't kick your ass in time of possession, but it was evident that they were able to control the ball more than you were on the run game, and you weren't able to stop it. So, yeah, 14 points, but you got to take other factors into that, like time of possession.
The ironic thing, too, is when you look at the breakdown, New England possessed the ball more than Buffalo, but Buffalo actually got more snaps off. Buffalo was able to get 57 plays off to New England's 49. And I think that was another aspect that you saw the Patriots try and take advantage of during the game, which was use more of the clock. Were you surprised, actually, that to start the second half, the Bills decided to receive the kickoff and not choose to defend? What would it be? Against the wind? Yeah, defend against the wind in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, because what was it? You want the wind with you. They were going against the wind for the last quarter of the game.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it's obviously not why they lost, but it doesn't. Even going into the win, Allen was, and I saw this on the pregame last night for ESPN. They did a piece on Josh Allen playing at Wyoming, and he's played in those kind of very, you know, high wind games before, and he's got experience throwing a ball in wind. So, yeah, I mean, would it have helped? Sure. But I don't think that was I don't take it as a bigger factor as much as everybody else does, only for the fact, like, they were pretty successful throwing into the wind last night.
Yeah, 15 of 30, 4.1 yards per pass. Mac Jones was 2 of 3, 6.3 yards per pass. Give Jonnu Smith a ton of credit on, on that catch. Best play he's made all year.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and I think that's got to be Mac putting a lot of power into the ball because that's one he was throwing into the wind. On that topic, were you okay with how much he didn't throw last night? I was fine with that.
I was actually hoping when they were flashing the numbers up on the screen about how no team had won a game, I think, passing for less than five attempts.
What was it, like 1970-something?
Yeah. It's been a while. And I'm looking that he had thrown one pass attempt to that point, and I'm like, I don't even want him to throw another pass. I think that would be so badass to be able to say, we went on the road and won a game where we threw one pass, forward pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was somewhat surprised though. And this is kind of getting into both offenses. On New England's side, I thought we might have seen a little bit more of the like touch passes that they've been running in the NFL over the last couple of years, where you basically got a guy coming in motion, you direct snapped into shotgun, and then you just kind of like pitch it forward to the guy who's running, and it counts as a forward pass, but it's basically a run play. And then for Buffalo, I really thought we were going to find more read options with Josh Allen, where he was going to try and get the defense pulling one way to have the offensive line block in one direction, and then he could pull the ball back and run the opposite direction. Surprised he didn't carry it as much. Six carries for 39 yards from Josh Allen.
Did we see an end around from Kendrick Bourne? I believe you saw that once or twice.
We saw an end around, but again, not that they're a huge difference in the result of the plays, but,
no, but it's switching.
Sometimes it counts as a rush. Yeah. Sometimes it counts as a pass.
Yeah. Honestly, I was fine with Mac. There were times where I thought we could have thrown the ball a little bit more. Towards the end of the game, I was really thinking, oh man, we might have played this one a little too safe, where you're leaving, you know, that's one of the biggest reasons why they've lost, you know, some of these games this year, is the leaving points on the board. So what was it? The second to last offensive series, if you want to call it that. Mac running out of the pocket to throw to Aguilar on the comeback. That got dropped, and I forget what was the pass before that he had that was a completion.
So not to get you off your topic, but on that play, didn't it seem like it was a designed quarterback keep, and the play was,
I thought he was going to take it and run, but
I definitely thought that's what the play was, and then it broke down, and him and Aguilar realized we can turn this into a passing play at the last second. Yeah. Jones tried to get the ball to him. If they had completed that, I think that would have been. That would have been awesome.
But I was fine with how often he didn't throw the ball last night. You know, people were like, you know, look how much Allen's throwing it. Look how much, you know, Mac has no experience in throwing this type of environment. Allen does. And that's not just, again, from his days back in Wyoming where he has had to deal with the wind. He's 4 years in the league now playing in that, you know, in Buffalo. So, Belichick, McDaniels, we're not going to put Mac in a position where he might lose this game, which hasn't happened at all, really. Credit to the coaching. You know, we're not going to put him, because again, we've seen interceptions go this way where, you know, it could go the way of Mac getting a little greedy and he, you know, tries to force it in there or whatever, or it's bouncing off of, you know, someone's hit. That ball must have had to have been like a friggin' brick last night. You saw it on Harris almost fumbling it on the toss to the
in the first quarter. Yep.
It happened, you know, luckily our running backs have a little bit more awareness than, you know, the Bills do, because the same thing happened to the Bills and we got the ball back. You're capitalizing on turnovers. There you go. But that thing had to have been like a friggin' rock last night. So
yeah, there were some runs that reminded me of that Denver game back in 2013, I think. It was either 13, 14, or 15, right around.
Talking about
time.
The comeback at home.
Yeah, where they were down by like 28 at the half, and then they ended up winning it in overtime. The wind, it was cold. I think Noshon Moreno might have been the running back at the time for the Broncos. He fumbled a couple of times. Stephen Ridley fumbled a couple of times.
Didn't Welker fumble a punt?
Yes, he did.
Got the ball back, yeah.
Yes, he did. Yep, he muffed it. His teammate muffed it because he didn't have...
Yeah.
He didn't field it. Welker screwed it up. That's all I know. Welker screwed it up. And
we almost had that last night.
Yeah, I was just about to say we could. I was just about to say, let's transition to it right now. N'Keal Harry did a very good job in the blocking game.
As he always does.
Which, how difficult is it to do what he did? Because it seemed like all they were doing was kind of lining him up just to the outside. He wasn't even really engaged one-on-one with the guy. He was sort of chipping him as he was getting blocked by the tackle or the tight end. But he was opening up enough of a gap so that Harris or Stevenson could cut back if the edge hadn't been set by if the edge had been set by the defense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to take too much credit away from N'Keal Harry. Something that N'Keal Harry does really well, especially on that Harris block on that touchdown run by Harris. You know, he had a great crack block, and there was other, you know, good blocking. You know, the O-line and Jakob had a good one. I don't want to discredit him for that. Like, I'm sure you could definitely find somebody, get a guy not in the first round who can probably run routes better and catch the ball better and, you know, be an actual receiver and block. But I mean, yeah, it is what it is. At least there's some production. But my God, that freaking punt. That was a momentum change. That was a momentum change.
Now, absolutely.
You're doing well. You're controlling the ball well, even though that's early in the game. When did that happen? It was the first quarter, right?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely the first quarter. It was right after. So New England had just scored a touchdown and converted on the two-point conversion. Buffalo had gone 3-and-out. You were just about to get the ball back.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's honestly, I was kind of questioning, are we not playing, you know, we got to coach with some balls. Because I thought, going back to the throwing, you know, we're segueing through multiple different things, but going back to the passing game, you know, I thought going with the wind, there were a couple of times where I was like, where's the McDaniel special? Where's the 3rd and 14, you know, screen to Bolden? That works. That works sometimes. And it's worked successfully this year. You know, you're at least able to get, you know, within a yard of the sticks, but I lost my train of thought. So where the hell were we? What was the point I was trying to make with that one?
It is definitely a little bit more challenging over Zoom, but I will admit it's been a while.
Where the hell was the thought? Where was the thought I was going with on that?
I don't know.
So
actually.
Yeah, now you, at the beginning of the game, you're playing, you know, you're playing with a lot of confidence, and I know. You don't want to kick into the win on an extra point. And this is going back to, you know, after Harris's touchdown. So you're going to kick into the win. You know, you elect to go for two, which could have gone either ways. It's still not an easy decision. I'll say that's coaching and making decisions with confidence, given the situation that you're in, kicking into the wind. And then, you know, again, you let them right back into the game. It's 8-7 after Harry messed it up. Just get away. If you're falling on your ass, get away from the ball. You'll poison, fire, something. And I know a lot of people want to put that on Belichick. I really don't. That's got to be it. I don't want to say it's a simple thing to coach up. If anything, it's on the special team. Like, did we not make sure Harry? I want to say, did we not make sure Harry was kind of knowledgeable in the fact of they had to have thought about this in the week, you know, in the days coming to putting him out there.
So
Harry just not picking up what they're putting down. Seriously.
There is a theory. I don't know if theory is really the right word, but I guess in practice, he's been performing well. He's been catching balls well in practice, because after he made one reception against, who would it have been? Not Tennessee.
He had a big one against the Jets, and he had a big one against Cleveland, I think.
I think it was Cleveland's the team I'm thinking of. Here I am too with like the schedule right in front of us. I think it was Cleveland. Could have been Carolina.
I know he had one against the Jets, but it was kind of in the waiting minutes of the game, and it came from Brian Hoyer.
But so basically what happened was he had a nice catch, and afterwards someone asked Belichick about it, and Belichick made, oh yeah, it's starting to translate from practice. Like, we can see he's got good hands like he does in practice. So maybe they were expecting him to do more. I don't know if the guy just gets like the yips or something, but he doesn't really strike me as the type of guy you would want to put on the field in that situation. If you're going to have him do anything, have him be the up man so that if we do need to receive the punt and we do need to run it back, he's at least in a position where he can do what we've already said he's fantastic at, which is blocking, the only thing that he's good at.
I put it on Harry more than I put it on the coaching, only because, again, and he, like, yes, he performs very well in practice. You know who else performs very well in practice? Brian Hoyer. You can be a great practice player. If it doesn't translate onto the field, big problem. And I just don't think that has happened with Harry a whole lot. He's had his moments. Yeah, he's had his moments. But he's had his bad moments more than he's had good ones.
I would actually make the argument that you could put more of the blame on Belichick, the GM, than Belichick, the coach, because the guy shouldn't even be on the team.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's
like you're not handicapping your coaching staff by saying, here's a player that's available to you to put into this position if he was just cut 4 months ago. But
yeah, that's been like the conversation, though. that's old news.
Speaking about coaching, there were some decisions. I think if we were Bills fans today doing a show, we'd be complaining about Sean McDermott's.
Do Bills fans actually like him?
I don't know. I don't know.
You want to talk about his comments after the game first?
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy is such a... Oh, man. He's such a bitch. He is a bitch.
He cried. See it now.
Oh, my God. Did you see him all night chewing off the ear of the refs? And I know Belichick did that at the end of the game, too, though. But, man, like, as a referee, I feel like sometimes you make a call just to get McDermott to shut up.
Well, I think what was happening.
Yeah, I thought there was questionable calls on both sides of the ball, but my God. All right, so this is from Zach Cox of Nesson on Twitter, at Zach Cox Nesson. Let's not give more credit than we need to give to credit. Let me start that one over. Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. First of all, shots fired. Whether it was Bill or anybody else, they beat us, right? But you sit here and you tell me, when we start with an average starting field position of the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line, I'm rounding up in both cases, and we were 1-for-4 in the red zone and they were 0-for-1 in the red zone. Yada, 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 yada. This guy is such a crybaby. Get his freaking binky. I mean, come on. Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, I wouldn't even necessarily say it unless the reporter was specifically asking him about Bill Belichick. You didn't have to bring him up.
Yeah.
Because it seems like all he wanted to respond was, we didn't do our job.
Yeah.
That's all you had to say was, we didn't do our job. You don't have to say,
the other team's not
as good as you think you are, or the other team is not as good as you think they are. We just didn't do our job tonight. You're right. He doesn't want to admit it. He wants to, but then he also doesn't want to give someone else credit. I don't know what he's trying to do with that answer then. I don't know what his play is.
Well, I mean, here's more of it. He's talking about, you know, how they were, both teams were in the red zone. You give me that ahead of time, I'd say I like my chances. I like my chances. I don't think, with all due respect, it's not a Bill Belichick type thing. It absolutely is. It is. You don't have to be a Patriots fan to understand that. If you've just been watching the sport long enough, and I trust Sean McDermott has, being a coach, it knows different coaches in the league and has played against these coaches before. It's a Bill Belichick type thing. It is. It's what you are doing with the opportunities you got. What are you doing with the opportunities you got? We turned the ball over on the plus 30 something yard line, sloppy football. So there he goes. Now he admits it. I'm very comfortable in that situation.
It just doesn't, like I said, it doesn't make any sense that he would bring up Belichick saying, let's not give Belichick all the credit. Like, that does sound like a bitter, sour grapes type response, where you would hear someone usually respond by saying, not to put words in my mouth, or not to put words in your mouth, but yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I still think that Sean McDermott's a very good coach. I still wouldn't have a problem if he was my team's head coach, like if I was an owner of a team. But I am starting to see the cracks in his armor and what people have been talking about for several years now, which is that he's an emotional guy that doesn't really seem to have things together. He just tricks people into thinking that he does.
Yeah. I mean, there was another statistic that I saw throughout the week from Joe Murray. It was, I think he posted on Twitter, you know, 98.5 the sports hub. Five of the Bills' seven wins came against backup quarterbacks. So is there...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Mike White. Who's
Taylor Heinicke?
Taylor
Heinicke. Does he count as a backup, though? So at the Dolphins week two, Bills knock out Tua. So I guess they shut out Jacoby Brissett. That was their first win. Against Washington, looks like they played against Taylor Heinicke. Taylor Heinicke. I think he's technically a starter.
What week was that?
That was week three. Davis Mills, backup.
Well, hold on. When did Fitzpatrick get hurt? Because technically he was the backup going into the season.
Fitzpatrick
was the start. Ryan Fitzpatrick, wasn't he the start at the beginning of the season for Washington?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he was.
Was he?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
Taylor Heinicke started game one.
Oh, must have been the preseason. He got hurt then.
Regardless,
whether it's four or five, look how many came against four backups.
They beat the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. Then they beat the Saints with, it's against crappy quarterbacks. I don't know. It's tough to consider, like, what do you consider Tua to be, a starter or a backup? What do you consider Heinicke to be, a starter or a backup? They're not good quarterbacks. Their good quarterback wins come against the Chiefs, and that's it. That's it. Because I wouldn't give them credit for the Dolphins, wouldn't give them credit for Washington, not giving them credit for Houston, not giving them credit for the Jets, not giving them credit for the Saints. So, Bills are kind of a fraudulent team. And if you look at their schedule, they lose week one to Pittsburgh, then they lose to Tennessee, they lose to Jacksonville, and as soon as they lost that game to Jacksonville, that's when everything was falling apart and they got exposed. Because they win against the Jets, blow them out, get blown out by the Colts, blow out the Saints, and then close game against the Patriots. Where do you think the Bills are going to finish now? If they're 7-5 and second in the AFC East, at least. I don't know.
I mean, to be honest with you, if we're talking about emotion of the Bills, I don't think they have it all together. They seem very, you know, you got a very immature response or a couple of responses last night from McDermott. And, you know, he had some stuff to say about Brian, or not stuff to say like about Brian Daboll specifically, but definitely things that he wasn't happy about. Thinks that they missed some opportunities on offense, which they did, but I don't really think it was more Daboll. I think you put that more on your quarterback, which we could talk about in a second. But they're teetering. I mean, when we went back to the two defensive players that we were just talking about, Pointer and Hyde. You know, they're getting defensive, and you just can't. Now you got to start to hang on, because again, there are three or four teams that are all 7-4 and three teams that are 8-4 and 8-5. The AFC is a huge unknown right now, really, except for the Patriots. And, you know, we're not trying to be homers here. It's just, it's going to be a close race, and you got to be up here. You got to be ready to kind of handle criticism, and because you got to, the Bills have a tough end of the season, you know. They have a better opponent next week to play. Again, remember those comments. Yep, remember those comments when you go to play Leonard Fournette. You know, arguably a better, you know, if you want to really make the argument right now, a better run game than you just played, or equally as good.
All right, let me ask you this question then: with the Patriots being on a bye, if Buffalo goes into Tampa and has a performance that is almost the exact opposite of what we just saw last night, where they stop the run, where they're able to move the ball, they score, their defense picks up the pace, Sean McDermott doesn't look like an idiot. Does it change things for you? Like if they have a bad loss, and I don't know if last night's a bad loss for Buffalo, but it would certainly be a good win if they beat Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah, I would say it's a good win. I still think it's a bad loss last night because, again, they did miss on opportunities. You know, give as much credit to the defense. You know, the defense should get all the credit last night. But there were still times where Allen's missing on throws and he's not making the correct reads. One of them, the one where he threw to Kyle, was it before or after the false start from Cox? Is that when he threw it into the end zone? And I forget, I think it was Phillips who was on him. Knocked it down. Regardless, he had Diggs going over the middle and it was wide open. Would have been a better throw than, I don't know if he gets in, but it would have been a better throw and outcome than what he threw to Cox. Knox. I'm thinking David Cox in my head tonight because we have URI basketball tonight.
So it would be a very, very frustrating day if we were in Buffalo today. Very frustrating.
Day in general. Apparently I can't get two words out of my mouth.
Like I said, it's tough doing it over Zoom.
Yeah. But, you know, give credit on that throw. You're getting pressure from Judon and Barmore and Godshall. So you're facing a very good front seven in Tampa Bay, you know, with White and Sue, Vita Vey. Did you see Vita Vey lose a tooth last week, by the way?
No.
Yeah, look up the clip. His chin guard went up into his teeth, and then he gets hit even more, and his tooth pops out. Regardless, you're playing a hard nose, a better front seven than what you just faced. So it would be a good, it would be a very good win if the Bills can go into Tampa and beat them. But after last night, you know, you're going up against the second person in the league who knows you and can figure you out just as good as Bill Belichick can. Tom Brady.
Who's that? Oh, well, yeah, it's a good point. It's a very good point.
You're going up against somebody who has, and I mean, so what, Allen's been playing for 4 years now. So, you know,
well, there
McDermott's
is an argument
coaching for three, I think, or two or three.
There is an argument to be made that last night's game is almost a throwaway game for any team trying to prepare against either New England or Buffalo because of the wind conditions. The way the game was called doesn't really portray how the teams would handle it, how a normal game would be called. Like, again, you run the ball however many times they did, and you only throw it three times. Are the Patriots going back and watching the film or are the Buccaneers going back and watching the film of the Patriots on offense saying, this is how we have to run against them. And we just need to do these three things in two or three different ways. I think they're going to need to expand on that a little bit more, but again, who knows? And then that's where the whole any given Sunday comes in, I guess.
Right. I think it's going to be a very, and I think the spread is only like 3 points. I think Tampa's only favorite -3. I'd have to,
which is ridiculous,
but it's going to be a tough one. And again, because you're going up against someone who can figure you out just as easily as Bill Belichick can. So again, you better have it mentally, you know, down and ready, because again, I think this is a team that could absolutely fall apart. They look like a fraudulent team right now. Absolutely. Now you got to prove that you aren't. There was a lot on the line for you last night, and not just this season. You know, and don't get me wrong, the Pats still have to beat, you know, the Bills again in 3 weeks. They still have to beat Miami. You know, both those last divisional games in the AFC East, they're both must wins because the division is still up in the air. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but.
Oh yeah, definitely. They're only up by a game and a half.
Makes you think now, if you didn't lose that first week one game against Miami.
You know what, though? Miami's looking good now. Miami, I think, winners of their last five in a row.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
I think they have the second longest winning streak in the league.
Yep. I think it might be Miami and Kansas City, I think, are both tied with five in a row. I think so.
And you're in Miami. So. Historically, we suck in Miami. So it's going to be big, unless I think the Bills have to play the Jets one more time. So hope that the Jets are on their A game.
Yeah, no, I mean, you definitely want to take care of business. You don't want the final game of the season to mean more than, you know, getting reps in for the starters and backups before the postseason begins. And obviously, if you're in a position where the number one seed has already been clinched, then you can really take into account how to manage the players. But having just one team get the bye now, I think all 17 games that are played on the schedule are going to mean something.
Yeah.
Looking at the in the hunt graphic, any week past like week 12 is always the most ridiculous thing in the world, because there's four or five teams that are listed on there because they're not mathematically eliminated that are never going to make it. And then all of a sudden they start creeping up closer and closer and closer until you get to the final week of the season where it's like, the two random teams that were playing against each other that shouldn't have any importance at all end up being the biggest game of the week. Yeah. It's the final week of the year. Yeah. So
there's a lot of stupid teams right now. I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, I got a question for you going forward, you know, not to look past the Colts, but to look into the next time the Bills play the Patriots. Can either team take anything away from this game going into the next matchup, do you think?
Anything that they can take out of this win towards the next Bills and Patriots matchup, or the next
Bills Patriots game? So December 26th when Buffalo comes to New England.
Sorry, I had to think about that one for a second. Well, luckily,
I did a bad job explaining it. That's why.
No. I'm just.
You don't have to defend me. I'm okay. That's okay. I'm a big boy. I'll cry myself to sleep tonight.
You know, luckily, you didn't have to show a whole... You showed nothing in the past game. So unless it's going to be another windy, windy day, you know, in New England, honestly, I think Mac's going to sling the ball around more. So you have a lot more to... You have time, and you have a lot more to prepare for in your passing game and stuff that maybe the Bills haven't seen. So, and again, it's honestly, I don't think the Bills are any different than the Browns, really. I'm not going to say that. I don't want to say they're going to come in and you're going to smack them around like you did. They could still be with our defense and our, the coverage, really, especially if, you know, who knows what happened to Phillips last night and some other defensive injuries. You know, Judon went down for a little bit. You know, it could just be as much of a shootout as it could be like Tennessee was, where you're not really in control of the game until the last quarter. The Bills, I think you just, again, do what you can to not fall apart right now, because it seems like you kind of are after last night.
I will be interested to see how much of a carryover the threat of the run game will possess.
Yeah.
Or will present.
Well, again, because you're going to include the passing game now. You're going to pass a lot more than you are. And the Bills didn't really figure out the run game until it was too late.
And even then, I don't think they really didn't even figure it out. I mean, they were still able to pretty much average between 4 and 5 yards per carry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just sucks that, you know, the last two drives for New England, you know, Ramondre again. And then
Brandon Bolden.
And then, you know, Ramondre gets blown up behind the line of scrimmage twice in a row, which I thought they were at least going to get a touchdown on one or get three. They did get three. I thought they were at least going to get a touchdown. You know, they didn't really figure it out, quote unquote, until it was too late. But now you're going to be able to spread it out more. Now you're going to be able to do a lot more, including the run with the pass. And again, stuff that the Bills, they've seen in the film room, but they didn't see in your first matchup. So advantage Patriots. You know what Allen and the Bills are going to do on offense. You know that you can't allow him out of the pocket, which they did last night. And, you know, he has Diggs, and Emmanuel Sanders has been contributing. You know, Dalton Knox is going to do what Dalton Knox is going to do as an up-and-coming tight end in the league. You know what they're going to do? The unfortunately didn't really see the full Patriots offense last night.
Well, and I think that's another aspect that differentiates between good teams and bad teams. A good team is multiple, is versatile, is able to game plan and change things within a game. A bad team does one thing, and they either do it well or they do it poorly, but they only do one thing. They're not able to make those types of adjustments game to game, week to week, play to play.
And
I think this was a win. Like we said when we started the episode, this was a win for Belichick. This was a almost like a not quite all-time game plan. Like, I think it was Ian Rappaport that sent out a tweet last night saying that this game plan, if they win, should sit next to the game plan that Bill Belichick drew up for Super Bowl 25 with the Giants. I think that's probably blowing things out of proportion a little bit, but
Super Bowl 25?
Yes, against the Giants. Or with the Giants, sorry. With the Giants.
Oh, okay. All right.
With the Giants. Like, my bad.
45?
Yeah, no, my bad. With the Giants, not against the Giants. With the Giants. But no, I think that the nice thing from last night that you also get to see is this team totally buys in.
Oh my God.
We're not worrying about anybody that is going to be kind of anti-game plan because they want more production out of themselves. And I love the guy. And we all know how good he is. I don't know if the Patriots win that game with Tom Brady.
I think they win, but I don't. You heard this conversation before earlier too, right?
But I was also thinking this last night.
No, it's really true because Brady is a, and this isn't really trying to be a knock. It's just a fact. He's a very greedy player. That's why he went to a team like Tampa, because he wants to throw.
I wouldn't say he's a greedy player, but
he wants, like,
at this point in his career, he wants to feel like he's a larger piece to each win.
Yeah.
So if you're only throwing it three times, like there were multiple times last night where it was third and four, whether they were going into the wind or going against the wind. Mac Jones, third and four. No brainer. We're going to hand the ball off. Tom Brady, third and four. There's probably more of a decision there.
Yeah.
And if he sees something on the defense and he can check into a play that is going to make his throw a little bit easier. I think if you play a game like you did last night with Tom Brady, great. But I don't think that I don't think that he would do it. I actually don't think that he would do it. I don't think that he would have the patience or the discipline. And at this point, if you said that to him, I guarantee you he'd go out, not just do it with three passes. He'd do it with two passes.
Probably. And, I don't mean greedy in a bad way, but look at, did you watch Tampa Bay's game on Sunday?
Oh yeah.
Did you see the pick six?
That was just a bad job. He didn't see the guy at all.
Right, but it's 26 seconds.
Yeah.
Your defense has stopped Atlanta two series in a row from scoring. No points. You're going to come out and smack the hell out of them in the second half. Why? 26 seconds? You really need the points that bad, Brady? Come on.
And you can tell by his facial expressions how bad he knew that was, too.
Yeah.
Because usually if he throws an interception, he runs off and then runs back on. This was one where he kind of like lingered around. And as he's walking off the field, he's looking at the Jumbotron being like, I really missed it by that much.
Yeah. You know what? That's not saying that they would do that in a playoff game or a bigger game. Obviously, they're doing it because, you know, it's Atlanta. They could probably do it. But Tampa is a stupid team. There are a lot of stupid teams in the league. I'm glad it's like the Patriots got all their stupidity out in the first four or five weeks. And now the Patriots are playing their best ball, and everybody else in the NFL, a lot of people in the NFL, these so-called contenders, these playoff teams are just doing stupid things. Look at the Ravens against the Steelers this week.
I don't think
it was a bad play. It was a good play design and it worked well. Mark Andrews was open. It was just a bad pass by Lamar Jackson. You can't win with that guy in crucial moments like that. But when you have Justin Tucker And you know that, I mean, if you're the Ravens, you've got to be confident that you can win in overtime. They've done it before the season, I believe. Did they not beat Kansas City in overtime?
They beat Detroit in overtime, right? Or last second 65-yard field goal, something like that.
Okay, but you're a team that can win in the last couple of seconds or in overtime, whatever. Just kick the ball and go to overtime.
Harbaugh did say after the game the reason he wanted to go for the win and not play for overtime was because he was out of corners. I still don't think that's a good enough reason to try and win the game right there on a do or die situation. But he catches the ball, or if Lamar makes the throw, Harbaugh looks like a genius and this conversation never happens.
Right. It wasn't an awful throw. Could have been better.
It sailed, though.
Slipped away from him. And credit to TJ Watt for getting in the backfield.
But that's who Lamar Jackson is. That's like the expectations on Lamar Jackson are not that this great pocket passer and he's going to be able to throw the ball with touch in a tight area like that.
Yeah. And this, like, going back to how I think teams are playing their dumbest football right now, and it's like the Patriots got all that stupidity out in the first 5 weeks. In the middle of this run, you know, there were some people who were like, "Whoa, you don't want to be playing your best ball right now." You've continued it for 7 games straight. They're playing their best ball, and I think they're going to continue to be able to.
Well, and looking at the schedule again, if your last 2 games are against non-playoff opponents, and who knows what that Miami game is going to look like, but
yeah,
it may not be such a bad thing to kind of be able to coast into the postseason as long as you can keep up that mentality and focus throughout the year.
You really can't even afford. I would say you can't afford more than one loss. You can't afford any. That's how tight this race is.
Tight
like a toyka. It's a really tight race in the AFC. You can't afford any more losses. I'd like to say you can afford one, which I think you could if you have some of these teams slip off more than you are going to. Like if the Bills lose next week, so they're in their, 7-6?
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with the Patriots if they drop one. But you, obviously you don't. I mean, you don't want to lose any games anytime.
No, understandable. But what you're basically saying is New England has built themselves a buffer where they can make a mistake and it's not going to be the end of the year.
Right. Again, because it's that Miami game. It's that Miami game where we've seen before in the past that's the last game of the week. We saw it in 2019. All you had to do was beat Miami at home and you would have been the first seed, second seed?
First
seed. And you didn't. You know, you crapped yourselves. Don't do it this year. But I really don't think this is a, you know what, if you haven't bought into this team already, I think you need to.
Second seed.
Well, they would have been okay. They would have gotten a bye, right? At least. Yeah, this is a team you got to buy in on. It is.
It's exciting.
It really is. Again, like if you're like I envy. I don't envy. I feel bad. I feel bad for some of these teams, especially in the AFC.
Like I was fantasizing towards the end of last week, like over the weekend, really, about how my work schedule was lining up. And I was saying if I really wanted to go to the game, I could go to the game because all I would have had to do is basically.
Are you glad you didn't in a sense?
It's the type of game where as it was getting closer and closer and closer to kickoff, I was like, oh, my God, I want to be there so badly because I just had this feeling like it was going to go the way that it ended up going.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then once the game started and it was kind of a slugfest, I was sort of like, it's actually, I'm happy that I'm here just for the simple fact that I don't have to come home.
Yeah,
but I think I would have enjoyed being there if you could have just like dropped me off at the stadium and then let me be there for 3 hours and then picked me up and I was immediately home. Yeah, I think that would have been a fun one to be at. I realized this too. Buffalo is not a hard trip to make and it's not an expensive place to go to. And I need to experience an away game, a Patriots away game there. So putting it on the bucket list.
My dad looked at me last night. He goes, "Buffalo is a city?" I was like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, I never really realized that." I was like, "Yeah,
Yeah, Buffalo is kind of like Pawtucket. It's a little bit like Pawtucket.
All right. All right. Like a Worcester. Nah, bigger
No,
than.
Worcester's nicer. Worcester's nicer than Buffalo.
Okay. All right. Like a Pawtucket. All right. Yeah, I mean, if you haven't bonded this team yet already, the train has sailed. Can't buy your ticket now.
But I'm still saying to call them a Super Bowl contender is premature. And ultimately, this is kind of what I want to leave everybody with is my final take. I'm not on the bandwagon of saying Super Bowl contender just yet because we've yet to see a team in NFL history accomplish that with a rookie quarterback. And I understand they've got Bill Belichick and he's a great head coach and it's the New England Patriots. And it seems like they've gotten back to that mystique where just by walking in with the flying Elvis, you've already won the game. But we've got a lot of room to grow with Mac Jones and he's got to prove a lot more until I'm able to say confidently, I think this team is a favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I wouldn't say a favorite, but it's not out of the question. Definitely is not out of the question now. It's not out of the realm of possibility. It's
simple fact that you're the number one team in the conference means it's not out of the question. Simple fact. Yep.
So, but that's my, you are a contender. I'm not saying you're going to go and win. I'm not saying you know, Mac is the next quarterback for 20 years. So if you're a non-Pats fan and you're listening to this, get that out of your head real quick. But you are no question a contender.
This is where I will say I'm leaving the team at this point, at least. I wouldn't be surprised if they won, but I would be surprised if they were one and done. If that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think this is a team that should at the very least win one game. That's the expectation. You have to win a playoff game now. And I know at the beginning of the year, we said just make the playoffs. And then it turned into win the division. And now it's turning into clinch a number one seed in the conference. Well, if you're going to have home field throughout, you got to win at Gillette. And the only four losses in Mac Jones' career have come at Gillette Stadium.
So it's kind of like, don't you want them to like maybe have one or two road games? Seems like they thrive
in the playoffs. If it's Kansas City, not if it's Kansas City,
but
I'd go to Buffalo again.
There's a lot of those questions. It's like, you know, all right, how do they respond after the bye? Because there's only one team that gets a bye now, and it's
right.
You know, is that going to hinder their 7-game winning streak? Are they going to be able to go and have some time off and, you know, keep the eyes on the prize? I don't want them to get too far away from what the objective is. It's not just to make the playoffs. You are in win now mode. You were when you signed those free agents.
This next week or these next couple of weeks, I think, are going to give us an indication of how they would manage that situation in the playoffs if they got a first round bye, because you're not playing against the team this week, and the team that you play next week is going to be fighting for their lives. Are the Colts on a bye as well?
Yeah.
Perfect. Even better then. You got two teams fighting for the playoffs, both going to be coming off byes. You pretty much know what the Colts do well. The Colts pretty much know what you do well. It's going to be on the road. It's going to be a Saturday night game too.
Yeah. Yeah. Going out for a friend's birthday. Won't be watching that one.
Oh no.
No. I texted them. I was like, you know, hey, they're going to be a TV. None of them asked why, which was good, but they probably figure what it is. But if it's a bar, it's, you know, we're good, we're fine. You know, just put me in the corner, you know, and just let me watch the game.
It's football season.
It's
good stuff.
But
well, me and I think that's gonna do it for another episode of Moving the Goalposts. It's been a delay. I don't even know what episode number we're on. Let's call it episode 60. Something. We're in the 60s, that's for sure. I'm gonna say that we are episode 63. No, not 63, 64. We've done 65. We're episode 65. 65 would be a Jordan Devi 65. Are we at episode 65?
Yeah, we're at episode 65.
Nice. So a Jordan Devi 65.
Was Joe Andruzzi 65?
Joe Andruzzi was 63. A 65. I feel like there's definitely Red Sox players that are 65.
I know. I think Ferentz, their backup center, 65.
James Ferentz?
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think he is 65. Not a glamorous number, but. But anyway, episode 65 and moving the goalposts. As always, we want to make sure that you guys are following along with us.
It's going to be interesting when we get to 69. That'll be a fun
69
one.
69 will be easy. 69 will be the easy one. 72 will be an easy one. Actually, I think everything past 65 will be easy.
A lot of linemen.
Tons of linemen.
Until we get to 80, you know, then we're going to be able to do receivers. Right now, it's going to be linemen and
hockey players too.
Yeah. Linemen and baseball players.
But anyway, before I was so rudely interrupted, we always want to make sure you guys are following along on Twitter. You can catch me at NickMara94. Mian is available at Mian_A_83. Mike's not with us today. He's working, but you can catch Mike at Mike_Masala. Mian, till next time.
See ya. Later, brother.
There you go. Peace.